May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our meditation for this evening draws from both of our Old Testament and Gospel readings. You may be seated. Dear Saints, tonight there's blood all over the place. Blood in our liturgy, the hymns, certainly in the scripture readings. The sight of blood makes many of us squeamish, myself included. Perhaps the bloodiness of our readings strikes you as a little bit odd, maybe a bit primitive, perhaps unsettling. So we need to look under all this blood by hearing the word of God to find out that there's more than meets the eye. Our Old Testament reading sets the stage for the first Passover. The Lord had visited 9 plagues on Egypt, and the Passover marks the coming of the 10th plague, the final one. To every house that was not protected by the blood of the consecrated lambs, the Lord came and struck down the firstborn sons, both man and beast. On the other hand, the Lord caused the destroyer to pass over the houses marked with the blood of a lamb. This was such a momentous occasion that God commanded his people to celebrate the Passover annually as a memorial meal, forever. Moses told the people, "When you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of all the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'" When we think about that first Passover, when we think about this 10th plague, if we only dwell on the blood and the violence, I think we might miss the point. All of this chaos and all of this death, it sort of shocks our modern sensibilities. What kind of God would perpetrate such wrath, even against helpless children? And doesn't it seem morbid or cruel to memorialize such a bloody, such a gory event for all time? But as we look deeper, we find here that there is certainly more than what meets the eye. After Moses announced the institution of the Passover, we're told that the people bowed their heads and worshiped. They recognize that when the Lord proclaims his will, the only proper response is worship. And the Passover is all about the first commandment: you shall have no other gods. The Lord had said concerning Passover, "On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." You see, the 10th plague is sort of divine warfare against God's idolatrous enemies, against the false gods of the Egyptians, and against those who worship them, these oppressors of God's people. And later in Exodus, God says this, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate me." This means that under all that Egyptian blood, you should not see innocent victims of a capricious God, but impenitent sinners receiving judgment. And all of God's acts of judgment on idolaters, from the flood to the Passover to the conquest of Canaan, these are intended to warn us about the consequences of idolatry, of following false gods, to warn us about what impenitence means. They are previews of the final judgment. But furthermore, you should also see that this judgment, the one that the Egyptians endured, is what you and I deserve, if not even more. For our idolatrous sins, for every time we have not feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things, we deserve for the destroyer to come and spill our blood on the ground while our soul is taken to hell. The Lord is no tame God. St. Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap." And what are the Israelites? They deserved no better either. For their own sins, the Israelites deserved the same fate as the Egyptians. But now look at the blood of the Passover lambs and see there also there is more than meets the eye. To the naked eye, the blood of the lambs looks the same as the blood of the Egyptians, the same sticky red substance, except God has attached his word to the blood of the lambs, his word of grace. He's given that blood to the people as a means of escape, a means of rescue from the destroyer. Under the blood of Passover lambs, you don't find any merit or worthiness on the part of the Israelites, but only the promise of deliverance by God. Only the grace of God is there. So the Passover was to be celebrated by Israel, above all, as a remembrance of his election as his people, of his protection, of his salvation from their enemies. And later the Lord would attach his word of forgiveness to the blood of lambs and goats and bulls and turtle doves and the sacrificial system operated by the priest in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And through the pouring out of blood in the most holy place, God again provided a means whereby sin could be forgiven. As the epistle to the Hebrews says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." And this leads us finally to the upper room, to see there, too, there is more than meets the eye. On that night when Jesus was betrayed, it was a Passover meal, so Israel's deliverance from Egypt is certainly in view. And the recently shed blood of the real Passover lambs, the actual lambs, would be fresh in the disciples' minds. Surely they had celebrated this meal dozens of times with their families, with their friends. They knew the Passover liturgy by heart. They thought they knew it was coming as they celebrated it with Jesus. But let's listen in. St. Mark writes it this way. "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them." So far, so good. That's the Passover. That's what happens. But here's the bombshell. Jesus said over the bread, "Take, this is my body." What must the disciples have thought? They must have looked around at each other in bewilderment, strange glances, wondering what Jesus was doing. But not for very long, because then Jesus slips back into the regular liturgy. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Normal. But then these words. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. This is my body. This bread is my body. This is my blood. This wine is Jesus' blood." At this unprecedented Passover meal, Jesus teaches his disciples that in just a short while, his body would be given and his blood shed on the cross. And that under the apparently senseless execution of an innocent man, they should see his death as a ransom for the masses of humanity, for the sins of the whole world. There is more there on the cross than meets the eye. This is God's final judgment on sin. And from that day forward, the only sin that condemns to hell remains idolatry. The idolatry of rejecting Jesus, rejecting his death and his resurrection as the satisfaction for our sins, rejecting that in Jesus, salvation is found and nowhere else. Jesus also teaches that there was more than meets the eye under the simple bread and the simple wine of the seemingly ordinary Passover meal. Now, by the power of his word, the bread was truly his body and the wine was truly his blood, given to his disciples for the forgiveness of sins, for life and salvation. And further, by his words, "Do this," he institutes the Lord's Supper not just for those disciples, but for his church, to proclaim his death till the end of time. And finally, Jesus was teaching them that the Passover and all the sacrifices that Israel had taken part in over the centuries, these were types, these were foreshadowings of the final, the once-for-all sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. And now these Old Testament ceremonies must give way to the New Testament in Jesus' blood. John the Baptist had pointed to Jesus and proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And later St. Paul would write, "Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." At the Last Supper and on Good Friday, John's preaching was fulfilled when God's holy, spotless, sinless Passover Lamb finally offered his life as a ransom for the masses, so that sinners don't have to get what they deserve, but instead what Jesus has earned for them. Everything in the Old Testament was pointing forward to this moment, pointing to the coming of the Lord in the flesh as the Messiah to redeem his people, to win forgiveness, not just for Israel, but for us Gentiles too. And what is in that blood that doesn't meet the eye? Life. The blood of Jesus delivers to us the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. God said, "The life is in the blood." And that is what Christ's disciples receive as the life-giving blood of Jesus drunk by us in the Lord's Supper. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. For as you come in faith to Jesus to feed on his body given for you and his blood shed for you, there is more here than meets the eye. Here is Jesus giving himself to you physically, his body and his blood, for the forgiveness of sins, for life and salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.